Heard of the hearts and minds of the American people. It's the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
For decades, the United Nations Agenda 2030 has been vying to push the U.S. population out of the country and into small, concentrated, 15-minute smart cities. Preparations have been made quietly behind the scenes. And it doesn't matter if Americans are disinterested, because at least 30 million illegal immigrants are now available to launch these prison cell slave cities. In her recent article, University Migrant Smart Hubs, Private Equity, and the Leveraged Buyout of America, Corey Diggs reports that illegal immigrants are being housed and trained at American universities in a decade-old scheme that provides the ruling class a foreign unregistered workforce. Under the banner of affordable housing, people have been forced out of home ownership, while BlackRock offshoots have been buying up the spoils, mostly through the Blackstone Group, whose top three shareholders are Vanguard, BlackRock, and Capital World Investors. Blackstone has become the world's largest landlord after acquiring rental companies, including the largest student housing company, and converting care homes, offices, hotels, and warehouses into over 300,000 rental units. Blackstone partners with over 100 colleges and universities who run programs where illegal immigrant students are taught mindset, critical thinking, and leadership skills. They are being trained in ESGs, fully immersed into woke culture, and used to manage whatever their bureaucrat masters choose. Starting in 2016, several colleges and universities have become sanctuary campuses. Sanctuary campuses oppose and hinder the enforcement of immigration law on campus, and they provide funding to illegal immigrants. Working under the United Nations, ECAR, Every Campus, a Refuge, say they would like to see every college and university in the world partner with local refugee resettlement agencies to house refugees on campus grounds and provide them with food, care, and training. ECAR has been giving direction and support to colleges and universities to do this since their inception in 2015, and the government has been incentivizing this program. Launched by the U.S. Department of State in January 2023, the Welcome Corps allows colleges and universities to provide U.S. citizenship to illegal immigrants by enrolling them in degree programs that will foster more diverse and inclusive campuses. Funds are provided to give them free education, housing, healthcare, and social services. The Biden administration has allocated $258 billion towards building 2 million rental properties. A new congressional bill guides local governments to acquire and convert shuttered buildings into affordable housing rentals. This is also being heavily funded through private endowments. Between 1990 and 2021, the average endowment value grew by 423%. Within the past 10 years, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation granted over $11.6 billion to 471 higher education institutions. Colleges and universities have spent the majority of this money acquiring hotels, office buildings, and other real estate in billion-dollar deals with private housing developers, while outsourcing student housing to Blackstone. Middle East investors out of Bahrain, Abu Dhabi, and Saudi Arabia are buying up billions of dollars of student housing, medical clinics, and office buildings near major universities.
All right, folks, that is the latest from Greg Reese. Illegal immigrants being housed and trained at American universities, building literal colonies within our own nation for foreigners. Troubling stuff. Share that video at band.infowars.com. Stay with us, folks. In 1 minute, I will return with Jimmy Corsetti. We're going to talk about how the World Economic Forum is actively destroying human history. It's incredible.
When we came out with Nitric Boost 3 years ago, it was a sleeper product. I didn't even promote it. But as listeners began to use it, it has become one of our top selling products because of the incredible results they get. If you want to give your cardiovascular system a leg up, if you want to go in and help clean out and purify your blood, ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost is the way to go. You've heard Dr. Judy Mikovits talk about how it's an amazing formula. This is what she's recommended to people. Ladies and gentlemen, it does so many great things. Like what you notice, what happens in the morning. If you're a man, I feel like I'm 16 years old again.
When I was 16, I'd already had probably, I hate to brag, so I'm not bragging, it's actually shameful, probably 150 women or more. That's conservative.
Nitric Boost is simply amazing. It's great for women as well. Get yours today at InfoWarsStore.com for 40% off. But that is a limited time sale. But right now, it's 40% off at InfoWarsStore.com. And I thank you all for your support.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
Welcome back, folks. This is The American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. I am so excited for this segment. I've been following this story, and it has some crazy twists and turns. And I want to thank Jimmy Corsetti, my guest, for bringing this to our attention and joining us now to discuss a very troubling series of events with a world-changing archaeological discovery. Jimmy Corsetti is an independent researcher who was a former fraud investigator, an Iraq war veteran who served in the Army. Corsetti now makes video presentations on topics including lost ancient mysteries, conspiracies, and the cosmos. You can check out his channel Bright Insight on YouTube and Rumble, and you can follow Jimmy on X at Bright Insight 6. And that Rumble and YouTube channel again is Bright Insight. You can follow him on Instagram at Bright_insight. So thank you so much for joining us today, Jimmy.
Harrison, it's a pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
The pleasure is all mine. And of course, we showed a video of yours that you'd published to X last week, and I've been following your coverage of this story. Give us the overview. What's the headline here? Göbekli Tepe. What is it and what's happening to it?
So this is one of the most wild things I've come across. So in short, Göbekli Tepe is the oldest, largest, and most mysterious site ever found in all of human history. It was discovered back in 1995, and it dates to approximately 11,600 years old, which, to put that into perspective, that's closer to 6,000 years older than the Sumerians, which we were taught was the world's first civilization.
Right.
And so when this was discovered, it completely threw a wrench into the textbooks and what we thought we knew about human history. Now, again, it's not just the oldest. Like I said, it's the largest, and it's approximately 50 times larger than Stonehenge. Mm. And approximately only 5% of it has been excavated. Now, this is something I had touched on in a video back in 2017, and I hadn't revisited the topic in some years because I'm like, okay, there's a tremendous amount of more excavations that needs to take place, so let me circle back to this in some time. And I had discovered while recently doing some exploring into what updates have been made, and I was startled to find that 5% figure hadn't changed. So that led me down the path of wondering, well, what is the holdup? I don't understand. Why is there no measurable difference in excavations? And that's where things get completely bizarre. And I have to say, this was difficult information to come across. For example, if you were to Google, you know, who is funding Göbekli Tepe, you wouldn't have found what I came across. So to sum it up, there's a company called the Doges Group. It sounds spelled like Dogus, D-O-G-U-S. And they are a conglomerate in Turkey that is comprised of approximately 250 companies in 7 industries, which includes tourism. And it turns out that the CEO of that company is a gentleman by the name of Ferit Sahenk, who is a longtime member of the World Economic Forum. So I came across that and I was like, well, this is interesting. And then I come to find out that he had done a presentation at the annual World Economic Forum Summit in Davos back in January of 2016, where he announced a 20-year partnership was made with the Ministry of Tourism and Antiquities of Turkey, where the Doges Group would become the, quote, sole partner of this megalithic site. They're in charge of all excavations and tourism management. And so since that time, they had invested between 2016 and 2018, $15 million into the installation of various infrastructure that would be used to enhance tourism. And in the process, they destroyed many ancient ruins in the process. They had literally brought in heavy equipment and concrete, put in asphalt roads, put in permanent walkways and roofing structures, which was quite literally, all of it was built upon ancient ruins, as I established from an archaeologist that actually worked the site. Now, and on top of it, in my video that I had made, I had shared that there was four different tree orchards that surround the site. And I proposed the question, which is, are there any ancient ruins underneath these orchards? Because the site covers 22 acres. It's exceptionally large. And come to find out, through that same archaeologist confirmed that, yes, those orchards were literally planted over ancient ruins. Now, it's known that tree roots are destructive. I mean, in any municipal area in the city, they have to choose what type of trees they plant because the roots will destroy roads, underground electrical, you know, sewers, basements. So this story just gets more and more wild as we go.
Yeah, I mean, just the number of things that you just mentioned there that are just, it's just wild. It's wild because this is a gold mine. This is like what archaeologists dream about. I mean, this is what they want. They go to sleep at night dreaming of wandering through a field and discovering a stone that looks out of place, and you dig down and suddenly you're discovering this thing that rewrites all of human history. I mean, this is like, I mean, it's, I don't know if there's any other industry like this where you can find something like this that's so valuable for human history, for our timeline. And yet 5% of it has been excavated in what, nearly 30 years or over 30 years at this? Well, what was it? 95. So 20, nearly
29 years.
And they've only excavated 5%. And one of the crazy things from your video we saw last time is this organization that's overseeing it now says, we'll leave it for future generations.
Future generations. Exact words. It's in writing. They say that it might be 150 years, 150 years before they finish excavations, which, to put that into perspective, that's four generations. Wow. That means your great, 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 great grandchildren will be the ones to finally see it all on Earth. Why? Well, that's a fantastic question. In fact, that's the million-dollar question. Right. Because this site, like I said, approximately 5% excavated, and that has been identified through the use of ground-penetrating radar. And the site is comprised of various enclosures, which include approximately 200 T-shaped pillars. And at this time, only 72 of them have been unearthed. And what's so important about that is that these pillars are telling us a story. They all have sophisticated carvings into them depicting various animals. And many have theorized, going back several years, that this site was trying to tell us a story and that it had potentially been purposely buried 11,600 years ago, which, of course, raises many, many questions, that maybe it was a time capsule of some kind. Because I should let the audience understand that 11,600 years ago was the time of what's called the Younger Dryas climate catastrophe, where most of the Earth went through tremendous weather changes. There was a deep freeze that lasted over 1,200 years, followed by a drastic warming that resulted in rapid sea level rise across the world. And many have suggested that this could be a relic of Noah from the Bible coming out of the ark, because if you look at Genesis 8:20, he discusses that he brought the animals out and made he built an altar and made a sacrifice of the clean animals, including birds. And these pillars all seemingly depict that. Now, that's conjecture. I'm not certain that that's what that's depicting, but it's a question, and it's of significant historical as well as religious context. So the big question becomes, why on earth is the World Economic Forum even remotely associated with this project? And just to emphasize to the audience, since they took control, any meaningful large-scale excavations has been diminished. I'm not saying, let me be crystal clear here, I'm not saying that there are zero excavations taking place, but any meaningful attempt to unearth the remaining 128 or so pillars is at an indefinite standstill.
You know,
I mean,
Go ahead. You have something else?
No, you go ahead. I can get on a soapbox.
Well, no, I mean, it's just, I'm just trying to wrap my mind around it because I love these types of conspiracies, but so often you might hear something about the pyramid or about something and you think, oh, wow, this could be a big cover. And, but then you go and you might find, okay, well, maybe there's a reasonable explanation. I don't really know which is true, but, you know, maybe there's a reasonable explanation for why this place is not being excavated or what the official story of the purpose of the pyramid is. Yeah, there could be some legitimacy there. When I look at what you've uncovered about Göbekli Tepe, there's no reason. I'm just trying to wrap my mind around what could even be the reason given as to why they would not want to just go all out and try to excavate this thing. Why they would be planting orchards? Why are they reburying some? I thought I read somewhere that they'd uncovered certain things and then reburied it. Is that true or was that just rumor?
No, that's correct. They have acknowledged that some relics of the site have been reburied. I'm still trying to establish exactly what. I want to know if any pillars specifically have been reburied. Now, there's a few answers to the question you propose. First of all, it is totally inexcusable to not fully excavate this site. That's number one.
Or at least protect it. Not to interrupt, but to at least protect it. That's the most baffling thing to me is they aren't even protect it. I mean, bury, you know, planting trees over it, the roots are going to destroy it. So even if you're not going to excavate it, why are they destroying it? I'm sorry to interrupt, but this whole thing is just so baffling.
It is unbelievable. And just to clarify, they'll say that those tree roots are going to protect the site.
Oh, right.
They planted olive trees, and depending on the species of olive trees, some grow horizontal, some grow down. They're claiming that it's going to preserve it, but wait a second. The site has been buried under the earth for 11,600 years. It's already preserved. Right. So I don't want to hear that. Now, there's a few explanations, one of which is that this place is, like I just mentioned, the Younger Dryas climate catastrophe. The World Economic Forum is, of course, spearheading the charge in the climate change narrative, the false man-made climate change narrative. So potentially, this site might provide evidence that completely, you know, debunks the narrative they've been sharing, and they don't want mankind to understand that the Earth does go through catastrophic events. That's something they just want to leave out of the picture. Another possible explanation is that it has religious context. As we've seen, they're trying to completely cancel Christianity altogether. It's quite interesting. They don't want the Bible to exist. They want to just get rid of Christianity, which is so bizarre. And if there's anything we've noticed over the last number of years is that anything that they want to cancel seems to be the truth. I will say, if people want to just not believe any of the conspiratorial aspects of this, I would say that if nothing else, this is a cash cow that the powers that be, like I said, the Doges group, that is already a billion-dollar industry, and the CEO himself is on the Forbes list of billionaires, and it's a way of them making money while focusing on tourism and just prolonging excavations. But the reality is that that doesn't make sense either. They have all the power. They have unlimited funding, so to speak. So they could choose to move these platforms out of the way, but instead they chose to literally build on top of them. And the installation of concrete walkways, the roofing infrastructure, pierced through the ruins themselves. It is confirmed that they destroyed ancient relics. This was established by the widow of the late archaeologist Klaus Schmidt, who initially conducted ground penetrating radar and began excavations until his passing in 2014. And then his wife came to visit the site in 2018 and was mortified. She had detailed and took various photos that she posted to Instagram, which went viral back at that time. And she had established firsthand, and I should mention that she is an archaeologist herself, and said that she confirmed that their infrastructure they put in destroyed relics at this site.
This is just so crazy. And I'm trying to a little bit play devil's advocate here and go, okay, what could explain this? Could it be that it's not as old as we think? Because basically what happens is you have this timeline that's laid out by archaeologists from excavations in ancient Egypt and Sumeria and, you know, modern day Iraq. And they go, okay, it looks like humanity sort of invented agriculture around this point and then, you know, started building cities. That led to cities around this point. Here's some megalithic structures once they sort of got the societal capacity to do such things. And these are all going on the timeline down this way. And then all of a sudden you've got Göbekli Tepe, which is a large megalithic structure that predates all of this by thousands of years. So it totally rewrites human history. It's this massive discovery discovered in 1995. Within a few years, they'd excavated about 5% of the whole area. And then it just stopped. It froze. And now they are building things over it. They're reburying parts of it. They're saying, we're going to leave this to future generations. In 150 years, we'll let people excavate this. Again, the question is why? Why are they doing this? What is the point? And again, just to play devil's advocate here, could it be maybe that it's not as big of a deal as we think? Could it be, it was actually only 2,000 years old? How do we know how old it is?
So this is where things get interesting. It is at least 11,600 years old, and it could be older. They identified various organic material at the surface as well as below it when they started to dig, and that dates to 11,600 years old, which only establishes that it's at least that old.
Right.
However, there's been other ancient ruins in the neighboring area, for example, Karan Tepe, which dates back to at least 2,000 years older, or I should say 1 to 2,000 years older. So this site, according to their own data, according to all the mainstream science, TM, as I call it, it's at least that old. This is not conspiracy out of Jimmy. This is National Geographic and World Heritage Fund.org data. They all say that it's that old. What they do say, though, is that, it was built, and this is where things get completely insane, is that they say, well, it was surely built by primitive hunters and gatherers, because of course there was no sophisticated civilization that dates back that time. So what they try to do is diminish its importance by saying that, it was just built by hunters and gatherers. But the reality is that these pillars are upwards of 20 feet tall and weigh 20 tons apiece.
Whoa.
We're talking 22 metric tons, so 22,000 pounds. And when you look at the archaeological data, which is that means that this site was constructed at least 5,000 years before the known invention of the wheel, which raises all kinds of questions as to how did they do this? Because if you study the site, it's incredibly sophisticated in nature. It would take an enormous amount of work and ingenuity and engineering capability to piece together. So it is complete nonsense to suggest that it was that some cavemen during their downtime, when they weren't fighting off mastodons and saber-toothed tigers, that they were like, well, hey, let's construct 200 pillars that may be celestial in organization, and that's just, this will be fun. There's clearly something more here. And let me just say that if anyone wants to be devil's advocate about it, I would say this. We don't have enough information. 5 to 10% has been excavated, and I say 10% just to kind of give some leeway, because some archaeologists have said, well, surely it's more than 5% now. I'm like, okay, well, what's the percent? Let's say 10%. The reality is that we don't know what the rest of this site holds as far as information about our lost past until we dig it up. So it's all conjecture at this point. So the emphasis is this. The site needs to be appropriately excavated. And as of right now, it is indefinitely postponed.
Just crazy. And then, of course, I said, I've been following this, and the connections to Noah's Ark are very interesting. And people have claimed to find Noah's Ark on mountain. There's a mountaintop in Turkey where they claim Noah's Ark landed. And this would fit geographically sort of the right location. It's right there just north of the Syrian border, right in Turkey, southeastern Turkey. It's down there near the Middle East. So this fits in with the biblical landscape in terms of geography, and I guess it would fit in temporally as well. I mean, it fits into the timeline there as well. And so is the speculation that this is perhaps the altar that Noah built when he found land again after the flood?
So that is speculation. I'm not trying to convince anyone of it. It's just that when you mentioned, so Mount Ararat was the alleged mountain that Noah's Ark had rested on following the flood. And it's in the same geographical region of Göbekli Tepe. And when you again mentioned, when I mentioned looking at Genesis 8:20, which talks about Noah leaving the ark, constructing an altar to sacrifice the clean animals and birds, all of these 200, well, I shouldn't say all of the 200, the 72 unearthed pillars at this time all depict animals. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting. Others have proposed the Noah's Ark connection before me. It's something I didn't actually take serious until I looked into it further. And honestly, It's possible. Many people will not believe it. Like, many people don't believe in the Noah's Ark story. And the reality is that all myths come from some form of truth. It doesn't mean that Noah had brought every single animal on planet Earth into a boat. It doesn't mean that the water had covered the Peruvian Andes or the Himalayas. But there was a 400-foot rise in sea levels following the rapid end of the last ice age, which that in itself is a mystery. Mm. Some people have proposed a cosmic impact event that hit the North American ice shelf and caused a rapid flooding. But when you look at a 400-foot rise in sea levels, and then you consider the fact that even today, nearly half, closer to half, of the world's population lives on or within 100 kilometers or 60 miles of a coast, it is believed, according to anthropologists, that even a higher percentage of people lived on the coastline in ancient times because of the abundance of resources and easier to travel. So the reality is that if you had a flood, a rapid rise in sea levels, it's completely feasible that they're talking about that. Because I should also say one more thing, which is that there's more than 500 legends of a flood that encapsulate, or at least that go across five continents around the world. Right. Asia has flood stories. Africa has flood stories. Europe has flood stories. The Native Americans do as well. The Aborigines in Australia do. So there's obviously something there.
Right. Right. And it's one of those things that, like, well, if it wasn't a global flood, you got to come up with some other reason why all of these stories all sound exactly the same from all over the world. They all follow a pattern that is uncanny with its similarity to one another. I mean, it's not like you have one outlier where it's like, oh, instead of a flood, they have a fire. These guys, instead of a flood, they have the sky falling and things came out of the sky and killed everybody. They all say flood. They all say it was a flood. They all say it killed everybody. Practically every civilization has a story of the one guy who survived because he was favored by God and told to build a boat. I mean, it's the Noah story, but it's everywhere. And I mean, there's so many questions that come up to this. The 400-foot rise in sea level, is that where we got our current sea levels, or was that a rise that then receded?
So Earth goes through different cycles. And essentially that during the last ice age, there was far more ice covering the surface of the land. For example, there was the ice caps that covered most of North America and Europe. So when there's larger abundance of ice on the Earth, it means that it's pulling out of the ocean. Right. So the Earth's sea levels are lower when there's more ice. And when the ice melts, the sea levels rise. And again, at that period of time, at the end of the last ice age, that ice melted. And again, what caused that is highly debatable. Some people suggest a pole shift, which I'm far more inclined to believe, because we have data that the Earth's poles are shifting now. Right. I should probably give a shout out to Ben Davidson of Suspicious Observers, Sun Space Weather News on Twitter. He did an interview with Alex Jones just a number of weeks ago during that spectacular solar flare that caused the auroras across the northern hemisphere. And this is something that he studied in great detail. But the data shows that the Earth's geomagnetic poles are shifting now and it's accelerating. It's been happening for over 150 years. And in just the last few decades, that number has skyrocketed. It's the same reason why they've been updating runway numbers across the world. You can give it a quick Google. This is hard mainstream science.
Right.
The only thing they say is that, oh, don't worry, it's going to be fine. It'll take another 1,000 years to complete. And when it happens, it's not going to be that big of a deal. Well, there's an abundance of reasons to state that that's actually not the truth. And I will say that there's others that have alluded to this, because let me be clear on what the data shows. The Earth is cold more often than it's hot. When I talked about these periods of an abundance of ice caps and ice sheets covering most of the landscape, the data shows, and you could go to, for example, the Utah Geological Survey. They have attainable.
That being covered in ice is normal. Us not being covered in ice is the rarity here. We'll be back on the other side with Jimmy Corsetti. Incredibly interesting stuff. Let me take some brain force, and then we'll do this commercial. How about that? I can think again. This is the liquid tincture version of Brain Force, which means you can really tailor it to exactly what you need. I tend to take maybe a little bit more than is directed, but it's incredibly powerful stuff, and I have an incredibly demanding job. But you make it easy by going to InfoWarsStore.com, and of course, InfoWarsStore.com makes it easy by supplying me with Brain Force Ultra. I rely on this product to do my job on a daily basis because it's absolutely jam-packed with incredible ingredients. Brain Force Ultra is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com, and get it now because this stuff sells out fast for very good reason. It's a fantastic supplement. It's the type of supplement that once you start taking it, Well, you're going to notice if you stop. Go check out what's in Brain Force Ultra. Do your own research, and what you'll find is that this is a powerhouse formula for incredible mental clarity, focus, and energy. Now on sale at InfoWarsStore.com. Brain Force Ultra, it's now on sale at InfoWarsStore.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're in a war against the globalist, and people can't identify who's a patriot and who isn't. We want to identify as pro-human and anti-globalist. We want to let people know we're 1776 Part 2. That's why I designed this amazing 1776 red, white, and blue Gadsden flag shirt so you can support the InfoWar and meet like-minded people everywhere when you wear it. When you wear these shirts, it creates an amazing amount of energy, and it's quite the adventure. So get your 1776 shirt right now at InfoWarsStore.com and get your Team Humanity InfoWars limited edition shirt right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, this is antithetical, the complete opposite of what the globalists are pushing. So get both the Team Humanity and the 1776 Gadsden Snake Shirts limited edition at InfoWarsStore.com right now. Spread the word, meet like-minded people, and fund the 1776 revolution worldwide.
Everybody knows, unless you've been hiding in a cave somewhere for 20 years, that fish oil does incredible things. But not all fish oil is created equal. Most fish oil has been pasteurized. It's been boiled. It's been heated up, and they smash the bones and guts of the fish, and it gets contaminants in it. We sell the highest grade fish oil there is, and it's pure fish oil, and it's not been pasteurized, and it is so good for your whole body, your cardiovascular system, your brain, energy, everything. Next level quality, ultimate fish oil at InfoWarsStore.com right now. And for a limited time, it is 40% off. Ultimate fish oil at InfoWarsStore.com. I want to thank you all for your support. I just want to encourage you at the same time. This is really good for you. So it's a 360 win. Go to InfoWarsStore.com today and get ultimate fish oil.
Many Bothans died to bring us this information.
You can see here the Great Awakening orbiting the Great Reset. Although the depopulation systems of the Great Reset are not yet fully operational, the Great Reset does have a strong conspiracy network. It is protected by a satanic shield, which can be disabled by the Great Awakening. The Great Reset must be deactivated if any victory for humanity is to be accomplished. Once the Great Awakening deactivates the shield, InfoWars.com/show will cover the truth, while InfoWarriors fly into the superstructure and attempt to knock out the Great Reset. Alex Jones has volunteered to lead the fighter attack. Get a signed copy of The Great Awakening today at InfoWarsStore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back, folks. I really love getting into these topics, and I love it because sometimes there aren't good answers, and it allows for speculation. You know, obviously, this is a major point of interest worldwide right now. You've got people like is it Graham Hancock that has Netflix specials about lost civilizations, about the Dryas period, the climate change or some sort of disaster that seems like it wiped out human civilizations around the world, and yet there seemed to have been some sort of interconnectivity between all these. I mean, it's all just utterly fascinating. And then you can go to the official history books and you can see where there are gaps. You can see where there are things that aren't quite explicable, or, you know, maybe they're partly explained but don't go all the way. And there's room for speculation, and then something will come along like Göbekli Tepe that just throws everything out the window, and you go, oh, it turns out we don't know anything about human history, and maybe we need to expand our mind a little bit more. We left off talking about the Ice Ages, and, you know, it's one of the things where I was listening to the great courses on ancient Egypt, and they'll just casually say, you know, at this period, the temperature of Earth rose 80 degrees over 100 years, and then they just continue on. It's like, well, wait, that's a major climate change, and either you can explain how that happened and why, or, you know, maybe everything that we talk about climate change these days is less affected by us, considering the fact you had this massive rise back then with no industrialization. It's just, it sort of runs the gamut of topics that we discuss here. And of course, the World Economic Forum being involved in this is pretty, you know, pretty predictable, or at least, you know, should raise your hackles a little bit. But the reason I was wondering about the ocean receding or flooding and then receding, or whether it flooded and stayed that way, is because, as you point out, and my guest is Jimmy Corsetti at Bright Insight 6 on X, rumble.com/Bright Insight as well, is because it seems like if everybody's on the coast and then you have the ocean rise even just 10 miles, well, then all of the evidence of civilization is under the ocean and probably destroyed by this point. So it would make sense that we don't have evidence of this big, sophisticated civilization because it all got swamped under the ocean. So that's why I was bringing that up. I mean, does that make sense to you? Because to me, it's like, okay, if Göbekli Tepe is that old, how is it the only thing that we found? How is there not other temples that we found elsewhere? How is this the only one that survived? But I guess if all the others were washed under the Mediterranean Ocean at around the time that this was built, that would make a lot more sense.
Absolutely. Let me share something fascinating with you involving the Ice Ages. So I know you're aware of MediaMatters.org, funded by George Soros. So what I'm about to share with you now is something they did a hit piece on me approximately 1 year ago, which anything they go after is something that it means you're over the target. So let me share a few interesting things. Anyone right now can research on their own interglacial periods and glacial periods. This is hard science, which establishes that the Earth is cold more often than it's hot. And the data from the ice core samples taken from Antarctica, as well as Greenland, established that the Earth goes through these periods that last tens of thousands of years called glacials, which means that the glaciers expand and grow. And then there's periods of warming, which are called interglacial periods, that last several thousand years. And we're already 12,000 years into our interglacial period, which the data would suggest then that, oh, we're already exceeding this time frame, which means that it's going to get cold again. So when you look at what Elon Musk said on the Full Send podcast about a year and a half ago, he said something that stood out to me, where he said that ice ages are, quote, a deep, deep rabbit hole. And then he giggled and said it again, a deep rabbit hole. And I was like, well, what an interesting thing for him to say, especially for somebody that's really fostering this urgent need for humans to be interplanetary and get to Mars. So then I look at something that President Trump had said in September of 2020 when he was conversing with climate scientists during the California wildfires. And he said something that stood out to me, which was that it's going to get cold before it gets hot again, right? Or he said it's going to get cold again, right? And that stood out to me as well. And basically what I'm trying to say here is that the powers that be, because they're not dumb, understand that the Earth will freeze again, the glaciers will grow, and when that happens, humanity is in deep, deep trouble, because we can live when it's warm, but we die when it's cold because you can't grow anything. Livestock will die. And the data shows this, that 11,600 years ago, there was a massive die-off in animals in North America. Approximately 70% of all large megafauna, which are mammals larger than 100 pounds, had died. You know, the saber-toothed tiger, the woolly mammoth, the cave bear, the giant ground sloth, to just name a few. In fact, a lot of people are amazed that there used to be lions in North America that looked like the African lion that were significantly bigger. Even the camel originates in North America. Did you know that?
Right. I had heard that. Yeah, I remember.
That's fascinating. Most people aren't aware of these wild details, such as that there was a woolly rhinoceros. So picture a mammoth with hair all over it, except for a rhinoceros. Same thing. All these animals went extinct at the end of the last ice age, approximately 12,000 years ago. The data would suggest that if humans lived on or near the coast, that the coastlines extending hundreds of feet or possibly hundreds of miles off the coastlines today could have ruins under them, which maybe have been since been destroyed. But that would be a place to go looking.
And so this is sort of just going into the reason why they might not want Göbekli Tepe to be excavated, right? There could be something in there. As you pointed out, there were rumors of, you know, images of boats on some of these pillars that I guess got reburied or were sort of hushed up. So, you know, if you're just thinking, okay, why would they not want to excavate this thing? Why would this incredible discovery that was discovered nearly 30 years ago, why would they only excavate 5%? And you think, well, what if they found proof, evidence of that this was an altar that Noah built and it sort of proves the Bible? I mean, obviously these people don't want you being religious. They hate religion. They hate the Bible. I mean, we cover this a lot. That could be one reason. Another reason might be the advanced technology that maybe these people had. If there's evidence of that, they would want it buried so that we wouldn't know that, you know, infinite energy is possible, these sorts of things that would be hugely disruptive for human society. So to protect the systems that keep us alive, we've got to hide this information. But I mean, this relates to some of the stuff we see in Egypt where they're able to move things or carve stone in ways that we do not have a reason. We cannot explain how they're able to do some of these things. And yet the techniques seem to be shared from Egypt to Peru. I mean, there's lots of questions here. I guess just expand a little bit on that. On the reason they would want this buried might be because there would be evidence of what? Advanced civilization, biblical reality. I mean, what would they be covering up here?
It could be an assortment of reasons. It could be to debunk Christianity. It could be to cover up the climate change narrative, as that would upend it. I will say that, you know, in the context of evidence of a lost civilization, it's actually out in the open for all who have eyes to see. The most profound works of the Egyptians is a literal mystery. The Egyptians left us with absolutely no explanation of any kind for how they constructed the pyramids. And there's other existing stonework there that defies the capabilities of what they allegedly had. For example, anyone can research the Ramesseum statue, which is located in Luxor. It's 1,000 metric tons that was moved approximately 170 miles. It is carved out of one single piece of granite stone. And 1,000 metric tons is 2.2 million pounds. That right there, to put this into perspective, people have to understand the achievements that we do in modern times so they can appreciate the true mystery of what the Egyptians accomplished. For example, back in 2012, the Los Angeles County Museum of Art moved a 340-ton stone. Anyone can Google this. And they moved it approximately 106 miles. And to do so, they had to custom build a trailer around the stone from the quarry itself. This vehicle was nearly 300 tires, semi-truck tires, 200 feet long, 44 feet wide, or 30 feet wide, and had 44 axles. And this took them 9 days or 10 days to move that 100 miles. And they called it the largest project of its kind since the Egyptians built the pyramids. So just to clarify this, that Ramesseum statue is 3 times the weight.
How could they have done this? And they were doing reeds? I mean, it's crazy.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next. Visit Infowars.com/show and share the link today.
So here's where we talked about the last time that we were on the show together, how the day before Iran basically sent those drones into Israel, China made this announcement, said, hey, everybody in China, start buying silver. Don't just buy gold, buy silver, because they knew that at that time, you have all these hundreds of millions of ounces.
You made the point that China was trying to call the naked shorts of the Western central banks.
Yep, I did. And I think that's what's happening, because look at what's happened since that time. Skyrocketing, going through the roof. To me, that's a function of supply and demand. You've got low supply, you've got high demand, you've got a short squeeze starting where the manufacturers of the world, the defense contractors, the aerospace industry, the fuel cell technology people, the solar people, they all need silver, and there's not much available because China, you know, they have 1.4 billion people. I don't know how many of them are buying silver, but they made the announcement that you should do it. Well, Alex, there's 800 million ounces of silver mined in a year globally. And they've got 1.4 billion people. Even if half of them, half of their population just bought 1 ounce, right? Well, you basically take up all of the global supply.
People need to get silver. They need to get gold. Like you said, you can make even more money on gold, but you steer people away. You say, get silver. You'll be able to buy so much silver with your profit. When gold starts making its run, they've been suppressing it. That clearly, you can get into gold. That's what you want. But it doesn't matter. It's all just a mode of exchange. It's a strategic metal. You predicted this when you were on the air, I guess, 7-8 months ago with us first on this. And now it's happened. It's gone up, you know, 40%. Explain where you're going with this, that you make such profit in silver. Then when the gold run starts, you get into gold.
Yeah. So, for example, on Friday, silver was up 6.02%. Gold was up like 1.9. The other day, silver was up over 3%. Gold was up a little over 1. See, it's outpacing the growth of gold by almost a factor of 3, right? So you keep playing that out in time. Let's say silver grows 3 times faster than gold. Well, we'll sell our silver, roll it into gold. You get almost 3 times as many ounces of gold then than what I could have purchased for you today, with the end result being, let's redefine wealth here. Let's stop thinking of wealth in terms of how many paper dollars do you have. Start to think of wealth as how many ounces do you own or control, right? Because they keep going up in value. Paper keeps being diminished. The more that they print, the more inflation we have. They devalue that currency. Where gold and silver maintain its purchasing power. So let's look at wealth as how many ounces do you own? This ratio trading strategy that we implement is a way for you to actually compound your ounces over time.
And Dr. Elliott, in closing, that's what they get from you, not just high quality gold and silver bullion at a super low fair price with no cost to sell back, which no big company does. And you're the biggest out there because you're the best. Proof is, you know, in the pudding, the success is the quality. You're giving people real strategy, not some story about a shipwreck of gold, so you're paying double for it, or silver. No, you're giving them real strategy for success, the best shot they've got out of this whole panopticon of information. Everybody should go to kepm.com/gold or 720-605-3900.
This is a topic that I think is outside of the political realm. It doesn't matter what your politics are. This is a topic of interest around the world and around the country right now, as evidenced by Netflix series and YouTube videos. It's our lost history, our lost past, the apparent cover-ups that are going on to stop archaeological digs that might discover things that disrupt the established timeline of humanity. Jimmy Corsetti is my guest. He is a researcher who looks into these topics. You can follow him on X at BrightInsight6 and on Rumble at rumble.com/BrightInsight. It's also the name of his YouTube channel, and he's on Instagram at Bright_Insight. And of course, Egypt is sort of where a lot of this speculation comes from, because some of the stuff they were able to achieve thousands of years ago, we just don't have a reasonable explanation as to how they pulled some of this stuff off. But one of my favorite examples is the unfinished obelisk that's lying in the ground. It was in the middle of being carved when they stopped for some reason. And you look at this thing and you see the scale of it and people walking around on top of it. And I have it up my computer screen now, guys. Yeah, there it is. And you know, it's laying there. So clearly this is how they carved the obelisk. They carved him lying down and then they somehow stood him up. And yet the weight and scale and size of these things, I mean, it just, there's no explanation to it. There is no explanation in some of these things. How does Göbekli Tepe and the fact that this World Economic Forum associated group is basically stopping all excavation? I mean, again, the fact that they say, we'll leave this to later generations. I mean, there's a lot of things going on here that lack explanation, Jimmy. And so, like, how do you relate sort of the Egyptian style technology that we don't quite understand to what's happening in Göbekli Tepe? Is this all part of one? Do you perceive a worldwide conspiracy to keep all of this information down, or do you think each one of these things is sort of has their own explanation?
So there's a few things there. I will say that when it comes to archaeologists that teach in school, I don't think they're covering anything up. I don't think they're part of some vast conspiracy. If there is, it goes above them. What I will say is that the evidence of what we were taught in school involving the true history of mankind is completely false. We were indeed older than we were taught, and we were indeed more advanced than what we were taught in school. Right. That the alleged primitive methods that they've repeatedly taught, which is based on no evidence, the Egyptians never said they used copper-based tooling to do any of these things. They're incredible achievements. And there's, as Graham Hancock has said, we are a species with amnesia, and there's an entire chapter of human history that's missing. Now, as I was mentioning earlier about that ice core data showing these cycles of interglacial periods, when I had said that the data shows that the Earth is cold more often than it's hot, that is exactly what Media Matters went after me for. They said I was spreading dangerous misinformation. And I'm like, no, the mainstream science literally shows that that is a objective fact, that the Earth is cold more often than it's hot. So why would Media Matters go after Jimmy Corsetti, the YouTuber?
Right.
So involving any type of conspiracy worldwide, there does seem to be an orchestrated attempt to suppress the true history of mankind. And maybe it's because it validates various or will contradict various religions. For example, many of these relics are in Islamic countries that operate on Islamic law. And if you were to say that humanity was older and more advanced than what was described in those scriptures, it could cause some issues in their religious beliefs. So that's one possibility. Another possibility is that, you know, I mean, this is all conjecture, but, you know, if we were more advanced, maybe there are certain powers that be that have evidence of that lost technology and they're trying to suppress it. I mean, we have to ask questions about this whole UFO phenomenon. I mean, are they really beings from another planet, or is it possible that it's something that's always been here?
Right.
I mean, when you look at what Bob Lazar said, he said, you know, assuming that what he said was true, he said that what had been explained to him is that some of that technology had been found at an archaeological site.
Well,
whether that's true or not, I don't know, but that's very interesting.
Well, and if you know anything about secret societies, the Freemasons being sort of the paramount example, they, you know, are very proud of tracing their heritage back to ancient Egypt. And you go into their temples and it's all Egyptian iconography. And of course, one of the things about Egypt is that it had a culture that basically didn't change for 4,000 years. I mean, you can look at things from the beginning of the Egyptian civilization and the end. There's 4,000 years in between, but they're still wearing the same clothes and the drawings are exactly the same as they were. So, you know, when you look at what the globalists are trying to set up for us now, I think they know Egypt had something that allowed them to create a permanent existence that was unchanged forever. And you look at the way the globalists are trying to organize things, it seems like that's what they're trying to set up, this sort of permanence of culture, of humanity, where just everything is a yearly cycle that doesn't change, nothing unexpected, no revolts, no revolutions, just...
Hold on.
Okay.
Let me blow your mind real quick. So to put this into perspective, I'm going to say two things. One of which is that Cleopatra, the last pharaoh of Egypt, is closer to us in years than she is to the alleged construction date of the Great Pyramid.
Right.
Which is pretty interesting, because that means, you know, 2,500 years before her, that thing had been constructed. So she'd have no idea. But when you just mentioned revolt, this is my second point that virtually nobody talks about, is that Egypt, the dynastic Egyptians, had three different kingdoms. The Old Kingdom, Middle Kingdom, and New Kingdom. I encourage anyone to research this, because this is where it gets mind-blowing, is that there was something that happened to cause these three different kingdoms. So, for example, between the Old Kingdom to the New Kingdom, there's approximately 126 years of completely missing history there. They believe that it was probably related to some sort of revolt or revolution, but there is a complete gap in the historical timeline for approximately 126 years. And so we have to appreciate that that means that whatever was happening prior to the Old Kingdom going into the Middle Kingdom, it means that if you look at 126 years, nobody is alive from the end of it to where the history picks off, starts up again. And then it happens again between the Middle Kingdom and the New Kingdom, and it's something like 80 years or whatever it is estimated. So the point is that there is missing history in Egypt in itself, and that in itself could explain why they left us with no explanation of any kind for how they constructed the pyramids.
Well, and it relates to, again, the mechanisms of control. I think it makes a lot of sense that they didn't write down the secrets to how they did this stuff, because if they wrote it down, other people could learn it, and then they might be in charge. So you had this yep. population where, you know, most of the people were probably illiterate. You had a priest class that could write and were extremely capable of writing. You know, hieroglyphics is an incredibly they wrote tons of stuff, but they never wrote down how they did certain things, how they knew certain right. things. That was secret information that only you had to be in the club to know this information, because it was the information that they used to keep control of the people, including when it was going to flood, how far it was going to flood. I mean, all these various things. Egypt is just endlessly fascinating. But again, just relating it to what's happening in Göbekli Tepe and the idea that the World Economic Forum is shutting this down. Why aren't archaeologists more pissed off at this? I mean, why? I mean, they're sitting here. This is like it's like a starving kid seeing a giant cake. Why are they not running at it? Why are they not demanding that they get access to this information and this site?
So the response out of the archaeological community since I broke this story has been the most bizarre thing I've ever witnessed. Let me just say one little point here to make it crystal clear that I'm not saying that there are zero excavations happening at Göbekli Tepe. Yes, there are researchers and archaeologists out there today. But to be clear, there's no meaningful large-scale excavation taking place that is being postponed for future generations.
Right.
That's in writing. And so, you know, the question becomes, why would they cover that up? But more importantly, the response, like I was just saying, of the archaeological community, they're making every excuse in the book. I'm literally seeing prestigious archaeologists. For example, there's this one guy, I shouldn't call him prestigious. His name is John Hoops. He's a professor out of Kansas University. He has a bachelor's in archaeology from Yale and a PhD in anthropology from Harvard. And in response to my videos, he said, I see no reason why we shouldn't cover it up. He said, I think they should even seal it in cement to preserve it, to keep it nice and safe. And I'm thinking in my mind, how could any archaeologist or enthusiast of ancient history, how could they know that they're going to live the rest of their lives not knowing what secrets or information is waiting to be unearthed at Göbekli Tepe? Again, it is the oldest and largest and most mysterious structure ever built in the history of mankind. I mean, I could argue the Great Pyramid is just as mysterious, but this is the oldest. And on every single pillar they've unearthed, there's been information on it.
Right.
And more than half of them are still under the ground. So again, like, let me just say, if you want me to be completely honest, most of the archaeological community is very woke. If you look at their various social media profiles, it is crazy. You know, it is as woke as it gets. And that comes with a certain mindset of a group think, and they band together like some team. And I'm like, I'm literally trying to help these people. I am advocating for further excavation of this mysterious site. And they're just, I think they're just getting defensive on why didn't they bring attention to this?
It's so bizarre. And to cover this up is so contradictory to everything these people purport to love, discovery and the love of science, everything else. Jimmy Corsetti at BrightInsight6, rumble.com/BrightInsight. You can tell we just barely scratched the surface on this, folks. No pun intended.
What do you make of the attempt to take January 6th, which we know was a federally provocateur event at many levels, there were also some useful idiots that got sucked into it, in my view, to now project on that, no, it's not radical Islam that's the big threat, it's not communist China that's the threat, it's the American people and patriots that are the threat, and with straight faces, the CIA has come out and said, oh, we believe a civil war has already begun. We're going to have to arrest all the leadership. I mean, this is what a real authoritarian takeover looks like historically.
The most dangerous terrorist threat to our homeland is white supremacy.
The most lethal terrorist threat in the homeland, white supremacists.
The most lethal terrorist threat to the homeland today, white supremacy is terrorism.
Can you speak to that with your historic understanding?
I expect something, again, another distraction. I expect because of what was staged on January 6th and what was staged up in Michigan to kidnap, you know, the fake kidnapping of the governor up in Michigan, Whitmer. I think we're going to see staged events. I really do. I mean, I really do think that do not put past this administration with their thugs in some cases that they have access to. Do not put it past them to stage something.
Yeah! said there's a storm coming in.
I know.
We told you what was going to happen, and it did. Now we're telling you what's coming. At Real Alex Jones on X.